Well, it's wonderful to be with you again this week. And this is the Passion Week of the Christ. From the Old Testament, it's everything from the Passover to the resurrection of the dead in the New Testament. And God is so good to us. You know, I'm just thinking right now of, John, who said, we love God. And it's not because we loved him first. It's because he loved us first. You know, the gospel is the greatest love story ever told. I love how Pastor Dave would teach on it. And he says, here was mankind completely lost. And there's God. And between man and God, there's this great chasm called death. Of course, it's spiritual death. And man really had nothing to offer, you know. We'll repent, we'll change, but that can't change what you are, see? What happened at the fall of man, God did provide forgiveness right away. If you remember the Genesis account, God clothed them with animal skins. Well, where did those come from? Something innocent had to die. Something innocent, even then, you know, had to shed its blood, all looking forward to the day of Christ. And God forgave them. The blood was shed, and he clothed them in those animal skins. It's such a picture of the Lamb who would one day die for us. But see, they were still sinners. And I mean, their nature had changed, and it's like God forgave them, but he says, I'm not going to leave you the way you are. I want you back the way I made you. God did not make man to be a sinner by nature. God made man in the image of God. And, you know, there was forgiveness right away, but being able to be transformed back into the image of God. And see, Christ is the, Hebrews tells you, Christ is the express image of God. And God, we're in the process right now, all of us. In our spirit, it's already happened. God did what we could not do. See, again, Dave would say, man, we'd come right up to the edge and God, we want you. We want to be with you. We want to serve you. But man had nothing to offer because man was a sinner by nature. Nothing he could do could change that. So God, in his great love, he sent his son this way from heaven to earth because we had nothing to offer. And Jesus, he lived that perfect sinless life, the only human who ever could and did fully fulfill the law, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He couldn't even have one. You know, it had to be the lamb had to be without blemish. He certainly didn't die for his own sins. He didn't have any sins of his own. You know, God first loved us, sent his son so that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus came, led a sinless life, stepped in our place to be whipped and abused and punished, murdered on a cross, even said he suffered in the heart of the earth, like Jonah, in the belly of the whale, 3 days, 3 nights. But then, thank God, he rose from the dead, ascended up into heaven, and it says he placed his own blood on the mercy seat. I don't know how he did that, but he did it. Now man has something to offer. See, we can approach God because of that blood that was shed for us. We can approach God now and says, when we come boldly to the throne of grace, and there is the blood of Jesus right there on the mercy seat. Now we have a reason. Now we have a way to approach God. See, but this is why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. And I don't care what country you live in. I don't care if you were raised Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, or even Christian, but not really Christian, not born again, where they don't preach being born again, you know, just moral code. There is no way. Across that void, there is no way but the blood of Jesus. That old hymn is true. What can wash away my sin? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank God for the resurrection Sunday, really for the whole Passion Week. I was reading again over in John 6. In fact, if you want to open your Bibles just for a moment. Jesus had just got through performing all kinds of miracles, and then he fed the multitudes, and even then he's, you know, they said, verse 25, it says, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, that he said unto Rabbi, when camest thou hither? How did you get here? That's a whole nother story. But Jesus answered them and said, verily I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Let me just stop for a minute. In a way, that's been my life's quest. Yeah, you know, if we go over to John 14, Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And you know, Pastor Dave, that verse was kind of like the foundation scripture. You know, take a group of people far enough into God that they can bring a supernatural revival to a religious city, which can be multiplied around the world. That's been kind of our life quest, you know. And what shall we do that we shall do the works of God? But Jesus answers. He answers in the very next verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, notice how he words this. They asked, what must we do to do the works, plural, of God? But he answers them like this. This is the work, singular. Notice, we want to work the works, okay? In order to do the works, plural, you got to do this work, singular. Well, what work is that? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's it. See, even if we go over there to John 14, since we're close, let's just go on over there for a minute. John 14, excuse me, I got the old big Bible out today. The Ark of the Covenant, this thing's huge. But it's easy for me to read. Yeah, so John 14, let's pick it up here where he says that in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now notice how he says it though. He that believeth on me. What did he say? What did he say is the work of God? That you believe on him whom God has sent. Here he says, well, if you do that, in other words, he that believeth on me, if you do that work, that is the work of God, to believe on him whom God has sent. The works that I do shall you do. Excuse me. I'm so used to quoting it in the first person. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Boy, there it is. But see, worldwide, are we seeing those same works done? Well, we're seeing a little bit. We're seeing, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for anybody that gets saved and anybody that gets healed and any miracle that's done. And I've seen that done in services through Pastor Dave Roberson, saw many of those things. I've actually seen God do healing miracles through these old hands of mine and Sue's. But we're still not yet to the point where we're doing what I would call Jesus meetings, because he healed them all. I mean, one of my favorite sermons that he lets me do from time to time is where I go to the book of Matthew, and I just stay in the book of Matthew. And originally I was showing five different meetings that Jesus held, and I stay in the single gospel so we know we're not duplicate, you know, like the same meeting in Mark or the same meeting that Luke would talk about. We'll just stay in Matthew so we're not duplicating meetings. And so there's originally I had five where it plainly says that Jesus healed them all. And then now I'm up to seven. I found two more. Seven. I mean, Jesus set the standard. He set the mark. And we have, when he gets to do his own meetings, when he had his own body on planet Earth, and can I just say he wasn't dependent on using our bodies, when the Lord could flow freely through his own body on planet Earth, he healed them all. Are we seeing that? No, we're not. But he said, we will see it. He said the same works and even more. Now that could just be because there's many believers around the world. So it could be more in number, but hey, I would settle for, what if we had one meeting? What if we had one meeting where everybody, and I mean, not with five people, a big meeting where every single one of them got healed. Listen, if that happened in your church, that's the end of your normal church. Word is going to spread. Jesus is in the house. Bring your blind, bring your deaf, bring your sick. Jesus is in the house and he's healing them all. Well, he's in the house because he's in your house. He's in the house because you're the temple now. Whew, getting ahead of myself. See, even under the shadow, under the Old Testament, this is the work of God, that you believe on him, that you believe on him. All, everything was pointing to the day when God was going to send Jesus Christ to the earth. And that last plague where the death angel was coming through, and the firstborn was, all of the firstborn was going to be killed. And there was, see, that's such a type of spiritual death. There is no hope. I mean, if there's no hope, you're going to die. So what did God tell him to do? He said, you go into your house, you go into your house, you, before you go in, get everybody in there, but then take the blood of the lamb, that unblemished lamb. You take the blood and you paint it on the doorposts and you paint it on the lintel. And you go inside, and don't you, and it, the instruction was, don't you come out. Don't you come out during that night at all for any reason. Don't you come out of there. They also had instructions while they were in there. But for now, let's just stay with the doorpost just for a moment. See, when death comes, boy, when death comes, there was only one thing that would save you. Only one. When he saw the blood. Oh God, excuse me. When he saw the blood, he would pass over that house. My brothers and sisters, I don't care how you were raised. Have you received the Lord Jesus as your sacrifice, as your Savior? Because on that day, I'm telling you, salvation comes one way and one way only, and that's by the blood of the Lamb. He better find the blood of the Lamb. Can I say on the doorposts of your heart? I know that's a little figurative, but I remember asking my daddy after Sue and I really got saved, and my daddy was a good Baptist daddy all the days of his life. We'd argue like crazy over tongues, but my daddy loved the Lord. Wasn't a perfect man, but he loved the Lord. And I remember after I really got saved and I understood the basics, you know, I said, Dad, how are you planning on getting to heaven? Boy, his answer was instant. He said, by the blood of the Lamb and no other way. Good answer, Dad. Good answer. And see, even under the shadow, you can see it just as what man really could offer God nothing. God had to save man or man's just going to die and go to hell and spend eternity separated from God. Put the door, paint. God, who provided the lamb? God provides everything. He says, you take that lamb, you take the blood, and you paint the doorposts of that house. And when that death angel, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. God, saved by the blood of the Lamb. All those old songs are... See, it's been over 40 years, and when I get to thinking about the love of God, Gary had no way to heaven. If anybody deserves hell, it's Gary Carpenter. And one thing about Sue and I, you didn't have to convince us we were sinners. We knew we were sinners. We were good at it. You look at us today and you think, what? Yeah. We had nothing to offer, nothing. Even repentance can't change what you are. You're a sinner by nature. Now, repentance is important, don't get me wrong. But see, think about that. In every house, you probably had some good people, probably had some bad people. You had people with a short temper. You had people, you know, maybe some mothers that were very kind, maybe some others that were not. Might have even been some thieves in there. I don't know. There might have been people that, you know, drank a little too much. Who knows? But see, there's only one thing and none of that mattered when it came to salvation. See, come as you are. The good news is he won't leave you as you are. But come as you are. Here I go again. I hear the old Baptist song, you know, that I sung. Growing up, have mercy on me today, I'm telling you. It's bringing up all kinds. It's been over 40 years since I was saved. And still, when I think about the love of God and how he saved me, and there wasn't anything I could do to save myself, but he saved me anyway. Bad people, short-tempered people, good people, kind people, not so kind people, maybe some thieves in there, maybe some drunkards in there, who knows? Who knows? But see, salvation was the same for all. Is there blood? The blood of the Lamb? Have you received the sacrifice of Jesus? There's only one way. I gotta keep saying it. It's the gospel. There is only one access to God. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You better have that blood of the Lamb. Better been saved by the blood. Believe on him whom God hath sent. See, and even beyond there, I've got to say another thing. There's an instruction that they're told in there, and I didn't look all these verses up for you. It's good for you to go read them again yourself, the Old Testament. One of the instructions was, don't you leave that house. Excuse me, all night long. Don't you leave that house. Why? That's a type of leaving Christ. See, you don't want to be caught outside where there's no blood. It's not okay to be in there for a while and then leave. No. If any man in John 15, I believe it is, he talks about he's the vine, where the branches. And as long as we stay connected to the vine, that life flows through us. But he says, if any man separates himself, well, he's like a branch that's been cut off, and those branches are just gathered and burned. I mean, what's that? You couldn't have a more clear image. There is no safety except staying in Christ. For them, it was, you got to stay in that house where the blood's been applied to the door. The type and shadow. Don't become weary in well doing. The whole letter to the Hebrews, the whole letter, the main thrust of it is, don't you go back to anything else, even the law of Moses. There is no salvation in any other. But the temptation was because they were suffering terrible persecution for Jews. You know, they were Jews who became Christians. And because of that, it says, even the confiscation of their goods. People shunned their businesses. They couldn't get enrolled at the right schools. And they were ridiculed. It says they were made a laughingstock. And, you know, the pressure. And the whole pressure was put on them to go back under the law of Moses. If you just go back to, just reject this Jesus and go back to the law of Moses, all this persecution will stop and life will be good again and everything will go well with you. Well, maybe in this life. But see, what Paul was really telling them, said there's really not an old covenant to go back to. He said, no, the old covenant, it's like, he took away the first that he may establish the second. There is really no first covenant to go back to. You know, it's Christ or perish now. So the warning was, don't be separated from the vine. In the Old Testament, it would be, don't you come out of that tent or that whatever they lived in. I don't know what wherever the doorpost was, don't you come out of there. Don't you get out. Don't you separate yourself from the blood. All right, let's talk about what was inside that tent. This is Passion Week. It's the, you know, I did a lesson many years ago. You can look it up on the website, called Roasted by Fire, the Lamb Roasted by Fire. Because one of the instructions they had during that night where they're to stay inside their house with the blood on the doorpost, they were also instructed to prepare what we call today the Passover meal. And that Passover meal was very elaborate. It had specific instructions, you know, unleavened bread and all of that. But one of the instructions in there was to roast that lamb and everybody eat it and eat as much as you could. The idea was to eat it all. And the instruction was, if there's none left, if there is any lamb left after everybody's eaten to the full, the instruction was you burn whatever's left completely in that fire. You roast it until there's nothing left. And for years, I kept trying to find that shadow in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when it came to the cross, and I couldn't find it. They didn't burn Jesus's body. What is this about roasting the lamb? I couldn't get it. And then one day it finally dawned on me. Jesus said, I got to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth like Jonah. Like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Oh my goodness. The lamb. He even went to hell in your place. The lamb was roasted by fire. He died so you could live. I'm going to make it more personal. He died so I could live. He took my punishment, all those whippings. I deserved them. He didn't. They pulled the hair, it says, pulled the beard right out of his face. I deserved that. He didn't. The crown of thorns, those are long thorns like this. When they pressed that down on his forehead, and the blood just had to run. Slapped him, ridiculed him, mocked him, prophesied. They said, tell who hit you, and that type of thing. Made him carry his own cross until the man came to help him. Died an agonizing death that I deserved. He didn't deserve it. I'm telling you, it's good sometimes to just come back to the foot of the cross. Because if you look up and you see that blood-stained face and that battered, bruised, broken body, you're seeing love in action. Carry the source to be on that cross. I'm the one that's guilty. I'm the one. But love stepped in and took my place. Jesus said, Gary is guilty. Let Gary go. I will take all of his punishment. And the work of God for Gary, believe on him whom God has sent. See, faith, what is faith? Faith believes that message. I believe that Jesus, the innocent Son of God, the perfect Lamb who didn't do any sin, loved me so much and loved you so much, loves us so much, that he stepped in and he took the punishment we deserved. And he did it not only in his flesh, it actually, the Lamb was roasted. See, I find, where's the fire? I couldn't find the fire at the cross. They didn't burn his body or anything. They didn't burn his clothes. They cast lot for his clothes. I couldn't find, where is this roasting of the Lamb? And then I finally got it. I said, oh my God, he suffered in hell. The Lamb was roasted. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Don't tell me there's not flames there. He wound up in hell. And he could see Abraham and he could see Lazarus across that void, you know. And he said, please, please, he said, have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and just touch my tongue. Now notice, for I am tormented in these flames. Jesus, he took the torment in the flames. The Lamb was roasted by fire until it was all done. The price was paid. Now see, if the gospel ended right there, we would be very much where Adam and Eve were when God had to slay something innocent, and something innocent had to die. And God took the skins and clothed Adam and Eve with those skins. The blood of something innocent had to be shed for them. But see, when he clothed them with those skins, it's a type of forgiveness, all right, where he could work with them. But they're just forgiven sinners. You got to remember when the Bible says that when they disobeyed him, that sin entered, and death by sin. They were no longer righteous in nature. Their very nature had changed. Sometimes when I teach this, I've got a Halloween mask that I'll put on, and it's like a evil green monster looking thing with bug eyes and all kinds, but you know, it looks horrible. But see, that's what happened. They went from the image of God to the image of Satan, if you'll allow me. What I mean is their nature changed from being righteous to sinful. And so God's forgiving them, but when I use that mask, you know, it's pretty effective, because you can, if I'm wearing that ugly, demonic, sinful mask, and then you put a covering on it, well, you're forgiven, but it's obvious you're not changed. See, and if the gospel ended at the cross, that's where we'd be. We'd be forgiven, thank God. Well, that's better than nothing, Brother Gary. Well, thank God for that. That's better than nothing, all right. But we'd still be sinners, and that's not what God wanted. God wants his family back the way that he originally made man, and he made man in the image of God. And in Genesis 1, it might be verse 26, don't hold me to that, but there's three times he says, God created them in the image of God. In the image of God created he them. Like three times he stresses that God made man in the image of God. But when man sinned, he no longer had that image of righteousness. See, Jesus, right close to here, I didn't look it up, but in John, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil. It's really no wonder they wanted to kill Jesus. You know? I mean, after all, the Pharisees were looked up to as being the pinnacle of righteousness. Everybody said, oh, you want to see people that really love God? Well, look to the Pharisees, and you know, and Jesus, I mean, nobody would talk disrespectfully at all, you know, and Jesus didn't really talk disrespectfully. He just told them the truth. You're of your father, the devil. And the deeds, now notice, he said, the deeds of your father you will do. Well, there it is. You're by nature a sinner. And see, you can, like the Pharisees, you can worship, you can bring gifts, you can tithe off your mint and cumin, you can do all of these things to on the outside, but it won't change who you are. That's why he told him at one point, he says, unless you believe I am who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. Jesus was doing his best to rescue those guys and to tell them the truth in love. You're of your father, the devil. And these were the most religious, quote, quote, religious people on the planet. But he says, that's not good enough. You must be born again. There's a lot of religious people right now, go to church every Sunday, never been born again. They've never believed. They've never done the work of God, which is to believe on him whom God has sent. Well, but my brothers and sisters, that starts at the cross. It starts at the cross. You talk about humble yourself. There's nothing more humbling than receiving Jesus as your Savior. Because what you're doing at that point, you're going, I can't save myself. Even if I repent today and live, I'm talking as an unregenerate person, just somebody who's never received Christ, you know, you can say, well, starting today, I'm going to live a righteous life the rest of my life. Well, sorry, dear heart, what about all the sins you've already committed? There's nothing I can do. Yeah, but you're guilty. But I can't go back and undo what I've done. But you're guilty. Whatever it is, I don't want to start naming particular sins. It wouldn't matter. The gospel message is, you can't save yourself. Even if somehow, which you couldn't, but if somehow you could, I totally repent that I'm not going to sin anymore. How many people have done that? Anyway, even if you could, which you can't without Christ, even if you could, what about all your sins that are past? What about, you're guilty already. You ever told a lie? Guilty. And you know what? God didn't leave us any wiggle room. If you've ever committed the least one little sin, you're guilty of all. Now, see, that sounds harsh, but it's really mercy, because it brings you to the place of realizing, I can't save myself. No, even if I was to do the impossible and never sin again, I can't save myself. Well, thank God. God made a way for that. That's like, we're back to the tents in the old, or the houses in the Old Testament. They couldn't save themselves either. Being a good person wouldn't save you from the death angel. Giving to the poor wouldn't save you from the death angel. There's only one thing. God, every time I do this, this wave comes through me. There's only one thing that could save you. That death angel better find blood. Without the blood of the Lamb, there is no salvation. Good person, bad person, thief, preacher, doesn't matter. Better find blood on the doorposts of your heart, my brother and sister. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Thank God for the cross. Thank God. And just come as you are. Listen, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. The gospel, the greatest love story ever told. We love him because he first loved us. You got to believe on him whom God has sent. But see, I'm going to run out of time. Thank God this love story goes beyond the cross, because if it had ended there, we'd be forgiven sinners. We would be like Adam and Eve in the garden, where something innocent died. In our case, it's Jesus.
And that blood would allow us to be forgiven. But see, we're not changed. If the gospel ended right there, it'd be like Adam and Eve. Something innocent died. You've been covered with the innocence of that lamb. You're forgiven. But see, if I had my monster mask on, you'd still have the monster mask. You've not been changed. But God didn't want to just forgive us and leave us as old sinners. He wants us back the way he made us. And again, I remind you, he made us in the very image of God. Well, Christ in Hebrews says he is the express image of God. So I marked a verse. Go ahead and look at this one, because now we got to go beyond the cross to the resurrection. You're watching this video most likely on the first time anyway that it's going to be posted is Easter Sunday 2024. And I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. I don't want to forget Easter. I like chocolate as much as anybody else. Chocolate bunnies are fine. Easter eggs are fine if you do it with the right motives. But listen, I don't want to forget. Easter is not about chocolate. It's not about eggs. It's not about Easter bunny. This is Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection of the Lamb. Okay, now watch this. We'll just start off in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. See, there's the blood. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. How? Does it say by the cross? No. The cross forgives you, but you don't get born again until you believe the rest of the gospel, which is according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection. Why is Jesus... it's hard for me to leave it. It's so good. Why is Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is, why is Jesus called the last Adam? It talks about the first Adam, the first man, the first Adam, and it talks about the second man, the last Adam. It doesn't call him the second Adam, by the way. He is the last Adam. There's not another one coming. God doesn't have another son waiting in the wings. This is it. Why is Jesus called the last Adam? See, if he had not been resurrected, his death, and well, not just his death, but all the punishment he took and everything, that would have provided forgiveness, but it still would have left us as the same old creatures, that old sinful person that we were. But see, when he was resurrected from the dead, the Bible calls him the firstborn from the dead. Now, and see, that wording is so important. He's not the first person raised from the dead. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead. The widow's son at Nain was raised from the dead. Go back into the Old Testament, several people were raised from the dead. But see, they all died again. All of those people, all of them, the ones raised from the dead, they all died again. But see, Jesus is never going to die. When he was raised from the dead, he is the firstborn from the dead. Born from the dead, not just raised from the dead. He is quickened with eternal life. He is quickened, made alive from the dead. Let me say it this way. That is when he becomes the last Adam. He is the first of a new species of human that has never existed on planet Earth before. And let me make sure, I'm just going to keep going with this. See, this is the lively hope that when you believe on him, whom God hath sent.
Not only that, he paid the price for you. Paid the punishment of everything that you were as a child of Adam. When you put your trust in him, you're baptized into his death. Believe on him whom God has sent. You, it says, are resurrected to that new life also. God, the same God that raised him from death to life raises you from death to life. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, those that follow me, and he's talking about follows me all the way into the new birth. He says, those that follow me, they're not going to walk in darkness. Now, what does he mean by that? Just back up just a little bit. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, and he's talking about following him all the way into the new birth, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, what does he mean when he says darkness? What's he talking about? You just back up a little bit in the same chapter, and you'll see this is where he dealt with that woman who was literally caught in adultery. In the very act, it says, and that's interesting to me always, that they didn't bring the man to be stoned, but it was a setup for them to catch her in the act. This was some kind of a setup on purpose to see what Jesus would do. But adultery, wouldn't you say adultery is pretty, that's darkness. Well, Jesus is saying, those that follow me, and he means all the way into the new birth, and then follow him, follow his teachings, what he told us, they're not going to walk in darkness. They're not going to be fornicators. They're not going to be adulterers. They're not going to be murderers. They're not going to be thieves. Well, why not? Because they are going to have the light of life. See, that life he's talking about there is the life that he was first born with, even when he was born from his mother's womb. You weren't born with that life. You were born with spiritual death because you were a child of Adam. But when you believe on him whom God has sent, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus because of this resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead to new life. I got to read it for you in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Give me a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see it in your Bible. It's so important. So you don't have to take my word for it. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you hath he quickened. He's made you alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's before you got saved. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Sue and I can give our witness. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that's the whole world. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, and in the lusts of our flesh. Amen. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You do the deeds of your father. When your father was the devil, you did the deeds of the devil. And were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Here we go. But God, thank God there is a but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us together in God's mind. Even though Gary wasn't born for about 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, from God's point of view, the day Jesus was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. God saw me in the future. And there's no time with God. Prophecy with God is not guessing, by the way. There's no time with him. He just sees, and here's what's going to happen. I see it. Anyway, that's another lesson. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. This is what Peter was talking about. We've been born again. You become a... You're reborn back into the very image of Christ when you believe that he's been raised from the dead. See, you got to believe on him whom God has sent. Well, he paid the price for you, but he has provided a new life for you, Christian. He has quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Boy, you got that right. There's nothing we could do. You got to believe on the finished work of him whom God has sent. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This has already been done from the Father's point of view. And the moment that you receive Jesus, I mean, even as a brand new Christian, he becomes your Adam. The life that he was quickened with, he quickens you with that same life. Those that follow me, they're not going to walk in darkness. Why? They're going to have the light of life. It's the same light of life that he had in him. When he was raised from the dead, he was quickened with that life again. And now, as the last Adam, when you believe on him, you are quickened with that same life. You've been born again. You're no longer a child of Adam. You're no longer a child of the devil. You are a child of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There was an old song says, I forget how it goes exactly, but talking about being brand new, and I looked at my hands and they were new too. No, they're not. Look, same old hands. Grandpa's hands now. Same old hands, but brand new spirit. See, I'm really good looking in my spirit. If you could see me, Dave says, we're not going to ever age over 33 years old. That's the age Jesus was when he got cut off. I don't care how you live, how old you live to be in the natural, you know. My mom made it to 101. And if I complained about any aches or pains at the time, I was probably 75. And she'd say, son, like, you don't have a right to complain. Son, you're only 75. Well, now she'd say, you're only 77. See, my body is 77, but my spirit's not. My spirit never goes beyond 33. Now, it'll mature to the maturity of Christ. Anyway, that's another teaching also. I'm sorry for the rabbit trails, but not very sorry. Look at this. You talk about you by faith. By faith, number one, you got to believe that the blood he shed for you is enough. You got to believe on the works that he did to get you saved. You cannot trust in yourself. Now, we're all supposed to repent. We're all supposed to walk in the light as he is in the light. We are to resist the devil. We're to mortify the deeds of the body. All of that is true. But that's got nothing to do with the blood of the Lamb. Inside that house were bad people, good people, short-tempered people, patient people, maybe thieves in there. We're not told anything about them. There's no telling. You know, brawling people, cussing people, I don't know. They only one thing that saved them. That's the blood of the Lamb. God, there it is. The simplicity of the gospel. That's why Paul wrote to the Galatians. He says, I'm concerned that these Judaizers, these legalists, that you're being turned away from the simplicity that's in Christ. It's not rocket science. I'm telling you, a child can understand the gospel. He loved you. You couldn't save yourself. He sent his son to pay for the punishment you deserved. And if you'll believe on him, you can be raised to new life, and you will have the power that you don't have to sin anymore. And if you do sin along the way, you confess it. You come right to him. Don't run from God. You tell him, you confess your sins, and he will cleanse you. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Well, there's no reason to put that last part in there if you thought. I mean, John, right after that, says, I'm writing this to you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's a good story right there, too, see, because most lawyers, you know, if you hire a lawyer, usually when you go before the judge, the lawyer says, my client is not guilty, and he starts presenting all this evidence, you know, even if you were guilty, usually. My client is not guilty is usually what they say. But see, when Jesus is your lawyer and you go before God, the judge, he says,
my client is guilty.
You're going, what kind of lawyer are you?
I brought Gary before you today. He's guilty. But he has already confessed his sins. And I'm reminding the judge that my blood, my sacrifice has already paid for this sin too. Lay not this sin to Gary's charge. I've already paid for it.
Oh, what? That's
a good lawyer right there. Not only, even though I was guilty, I still get to go free. Now, I can't persist in it. You can't, you know, if you say we have no sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. You know, as far as I know, there's only one perfect person. Now, we're all striving toward that mark. But anyway, that's another lesson also. What is the reason for, this is Resurrection Sunday. You got to believe both parts of the gospel. He loves you. You got, again, we'll go back to John chapter 6, 29, where he says, this is the singular work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. When it comes, I saw right there, I left out part of it, didn't I? Going all the way back to the Old Testament. They had instructions while they were in the house overnight. Prepare this meal, prepare it just the way I tell you. Eat it just the way I tell you. Eat that lamb, eat it all. Okay. Well, when they obeyed that, when they come out the next morning, see, they went in as slaves. They came out as free men and women. Right away, much of the wealth of Egypt was transferred to them. I can't get into that very much. It says when they left Egypt, I think about the slaves, hard labor, part of it building the pyramids, no doubt, moving those massive blocks of stone with manual labor. It says no health care, no dental care like we'd think today. When they got older, no telling, you know, broken down bodies. But the Bible says real clear, there was not one feeble one among them. Not one feeble one. And it doesn't segregate out the aged, you know. Whatever afflictions that they had, they weren't feeble anymore. They weren't sick anymore. See, when you believe on him whom God has sent, that lamb that they ate, that meal that they ate, what's that a type of? It's a type of communion in our day. See, later on right there in John chapter 6, a little further down, if I remember right, Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, that's the type and shadow from the Old Testament. They had to eat that Passover meal, and then they had to eat the lamb as much as they possibly could. There was healing in the finished work of the lamb. When Peter says, with his stripes, by his stripes, we were healed. You got to believe on him whom God has sent. When he took those stripes, which that's part of the blood also that was painted on the doorpost. When he took those stripes on his back, he literally was paying the price so that sickness and disease would never have to be on believers. Never. By his stripes you were healed. But you got to believe on him whom God has sent. What about my finances? Okay, I know I can be saved. Okay, I understand that I can be healed. What about my finances? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor through his poverty, that through his poverty, not your giving, through his poverty, you might be rich. I'm getting a little glare coming in the window there. But we're almost done anyway. Nope, didn't help if I move. All right. Sorry about that. Nothing's perfect. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible gift. We thank you that you did love us, that while we were yet sinners, You died for us. Christ died for us, Lord. Lord, this is Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we trust in everything that Jesus, the one you sent, everything that he did for us. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus paid the price for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that he made it possible for us to be reborn by your Spirit so that we're no longer sinners by nature, but you gave us a righteous nature as a free gift. Thank you, Lord, that by his stripes we were healed. He even provided our healing. And Lord, you even provided prosperity for us because he's already borne our poverty. The same way he bore our sin, the same way he bore our sickness, he bore our poverty so we could always have access to your wealth. What a wonderful, perfect, all-encompassing Savior Jesus Christ is to us. And we thank you and we worship you and we thank you, Lord, on this Resurrection Sunday for sending your Son to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Can't hardly wait till next week. Love you so much. Bye-bye for now.